Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast, episode 204, January 22nd already? We're almost to February.
Yep.
I'm almost February. I am the host of the show, Brad Brood, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars, for more hockey talk. And it's not another positive episode tonight, is it, Blake?
No, it's just every single episode we talk about the Canucks.
We're done after this week. We're done.
Every episode, it's bad. Hopefully we're at the end of it because it's like beating a dead horse.
Do you want me to make a prediction? Bo Horvat gets traded this week, and we'll have to talk about it next week.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I think if the Canucks are smart, which they haven't been smart for very much of the things this year, they trade Horvat before the All-Star break. That's what I would do. I would trade Luke Shen. I would trade Kuzmenko. I would trade Horvat all before the All-Star break.
Yeah, well, we'll see. NFL playoffs today, kind of underwhelming today, was it not?
Yeah, the Bills are disappointed. There's a little bit of a rout, and Dallas did what Dallas does in the playoffs. They choke, and
I don't understand. Yeah, do you see the last play of that Dallas game? It is the last play of the game.
Elliott just got bowled over. I don't know what the hell they're expecting. Like,
what are they throwing on an 8-yard? How would they get the offensive coordinator?
Well, no,
he
went to pitch it back and he got hammered right when he caught the ball. I don't think that he expected to get hit that quick, but yeah. I don't know.
How about you just hike it to the quarterback and have him throw it all the way down the field?
I mean, they had no timeout. I was like, Hail Mary, like 20. They had everybody back. I mean, it took a miracle.
I don't know. Hockey Day in Canada yesterday, that's kind of one of my favorite days of the year. I watch a lot of hockey on that day, and it's kind of a celebration of the game. I didn't think the stories on Hockey Night in Canada were near as good this year as they have been in other years, but that's probably a topic.
It was in Owen Sound this year, right?
Yeah. I would like to go to that if it's ever in, like, Brandon or... I remember it was in Winkler not too long ago.
Yeah. No.
I don't know.
But, there was some shitty games last night. Like, just blowouts, not games that weren't even really close.
Every game on Hockey Day in Canada was good. I thought the Flames game was a decent hockey game. I thought
the Jets game was brutal.
Yeah, but that wasn't the premier game. The Habs
the
Leafs
Canucks
was.
Game. The Leafs, I'll give you that. Habs Leafs
was
good.
Freaking awesome hockey game. So I don't know where you're coming off saying that wasn't.
I didn't. The Jets game was whatever, and the Canucks Oilers game was so one sided. I don't know.
That was more of a storyline game, and we'll get into that later on in the show, but I don't know. Did you see what I saw a report this week? That ESPN is considering animated live NHL broadcasts on the Disney Channel.
Animated what?
Animated live NHL broadcasts on the Disney Channel.
I don't think that would hurt.
Oh, God.
It's not for us adults to watch. It's for young kids to watch.
Have you ever?
You got to understand.
How about we just get kids to watch the regular games?
Maybe that entices them little kids to start watching hockey. I don't know.
The only thing that I thought of when I heard this was, do you remember when Nickelodeon did the NFL games?
The football. They still do.
That's freaking
stupid. It's for little kids, though.
How many little kids watch that, you think?
I don't know.
I have kids. I have three kids. I have three kids. And my kids would be like, the hell is this? I'm watching YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, the generation The generation nowadays is just glued to their phone.
I mean, I could literally take my freaking kids' TV and rip them off their walls. And they wouldn't even notice it.
They'd have their phone.
They wouldn't notice it for a week. They'd be like, oh, where did my TV go?
Yeah.
They wouldn't even notice it.
That's how a generation is now, though.
It's crazy.
Everybody's glued to their tablets.
I got to backtrack a little bit on what we talked about last week on the Boldy contract. I'm not backtracking on the fact that I said it was a good contract, because I really do believe in that player. I really do. And I don't think it'll be that bad. But I started.
What are you backtracking on?
Well, here's what I started to think about. The dude has played 89 games, and we're firing 7-year contract at him.
What have we talked about, though? You're paying for the player that the player's going to turn
into
me.
It's an investment.
It's an investment. Yeah, it's a partnership. I think it's a safe bet.
I do, in this instance.
I think he's going to outperform that contract.
I don't know. I like him as a player. I really, really, really do.
Hold on. So Kevin Fiala had one good season and then got paid in L.A.
Yeah, how much have you heard his name lately?
Isn't that kind of, he had 85 points.
Yeah, but at least we could get a little bit of a beat on him. He played more than 89 games.
Yeah, I know, but it's just like it's a little like concerning when like you pay a guy for one good year.
So do you think LA likes Fiala's contract right now? Because I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
I think they would like it a lot better if they weren't paying Doughty $12 million.
Well, I know, but bad contracts are bad contracts.
I know. I don't think it's terrible. I'm pretty sure it's the same contract, 7x7, right?
I think it is. And I don't think it's horrible, but I don't think their management group's going, wow, we're getting a value here.
Yeah.
I don't think. I could be wrong, but
let me look at his salary. Kings.
I don't know.
He's making 7.875.
Yeah. So he's it's only 800.
Close to 8. Yeah.
I don't think they're thinking it's a deal right now. I don't. But
no. Well, he's 26 though.
And we keep saying that when I always love that. That's self justification. You'd be a good GM. Right. All of a sudden 26. A year ago, you were telling me 26-year-olds are already on the back nine.
Listen. He's got 16 goals, 47 points, and 48 games. He's on pace for a point a game.
Yeah,
so
that's not terrible.
He's been pretty good.
Not terrible. All right, on today's episode, Bruce, there it was. We're talking about...
No. Hashtag Bruce, there he goes.
Yeah, we're discussing how the Canucks handled this situation. I got a little venting to do. Then we'll go around the league, talk some deadline dollars, all-star jerseys, Stamkos 500+, Eichel struggles, Pacioretty again injured, an ironic injury the other night, and an Oilers resurgence. All right, Blake. I'm so done talking about the Canucks. I am, but how do you not talk about them this week, right?
Yep. Sound like a broken record, but making headlines for all the wrong reasons again.
Let's talk about it.
It was a tough night last night. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I watched the whole 10-minute post-game press conference from Boudreau and just him talking about, like, you know, like, this might be it for me for coaching. And that's tough stuff to hear. Like, it's like, and Bruce is one of the most well-respected coaches in the league, and a lot of players have came to his defense. And, you know, you hear, like, when you hear Tyler Myers talk the way he does, like, and listen, like, say what you want about Myers' contract and his play. He's a pro. He's a true pro. And
he's not a good hockey player.
His press conference was very very interesting. Listen, did you listen to it a couple days ago?
I did not listen to his.
No. So yeah, you should go back and listen to that. It's 5 minutes long. I think it was very, very eye opening.
Saturday morning, it came out, Dave Pignota from the fourth period reported that that Bruce Boudreau was going to get fired on Monday. He was wrong. He didn't make it till Monday. But the hockey world knew. The fans all knew. Sadly, Bruce knew. Yeah. And we sat and mulled through social media all day yesterday hearing about it and that it was going to happen. And then last night we watched Bruce Boudreau go out on the bench and try to do his job coaching a National Hockey League game in front of 16,000 fans against two of the best players in the league. And we had to watch that. We had to watch his emotions. And as the night went on, I've always been a fan of Bruce Boudreau's. I'm not a fan of the Canucks. I'm a fan of Bruce Boudreau. I loved it when he was on NHL radio, and I pray he's back there because I enjoyed listening to him. And he's one of the greatest hockey minds out there. He's been in hockey forever. He's 68 years old right now. He's coached more than 1,000 games. He's won the Jack Adams. He's the he's one of the winningest regular season coaches in hockey history. And I felt for the guy. I felt for the guy mostly because you know what? And I'm not picking at any other coaches out there. But I felt like, and I could see it in his eyes, that he cares more about this game than probably anybody I've ever met.
Yeah.
This guy cares. And I felt horrible for him last night. I was so pissed off watching this poor man spend 3 hours trying to coach a hockey game, knowing like it's the long walk to the electric chair. And for some organization to be that ignorant to feelings, you know, we're living in such a sensitive bullshit society right now where we're worried about feelings of every single person out there. What about Bruce Boudreau's feelings? Nobody gave a shit about his last night, did they? And that's what pissed me off the most. That is what pissed me off the most. And when that horn went last night and Bruce Boudreau stood there crying, I don't know, it angered me. It angered me about how in a world we're living in where we're supposed to be more sensitive and compassionate to people that we could be that frickin' incompassionate and disrespectful. And the Canucks organization can spew out all their frickin' excuses and pass-the-buck bullshit comments they want. Bruce Boudreau got hung out to dry last night, and the Canucks should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, I mean, just after the game, I mean, and you know, say what you want about Canucks fans, and
I'm not talking about the Canucks fans.
No, I'm getting to a point here. Say what you want about Canucks fans, delusional on Twitter, blah blah blah. What they did for Bruce after the game was unbelievable. Like the chants and that was a proper send off and something that he's gonna remember for a long time.
Right? Absolutely.
And
I hope they continue it the rest of the year.
Good on the fans for chanting that. It just shows the division between the upper management and the fans. Like, the fans love Bruce Boudreau, and it was clear since day one of this year that Boudreau really never had a chance, right? Okay. I mean, he got criticized every single time the management spoke about the structure, and they didn't know it was a two-year contract. And this, I'm going to go above upper management. You want to know what? This is what happens when you hire a coach before you hire your GM and your president. This is the stuff that happens.
I told you that.
It's been backwards since day one.
Everything the Canucks do is backwards.
Since day one, it's been backwards. And I'm just so sick of the bullshit. I don't have my phone on me, but I saw a tweet that said, Vigneault fired in 2013. Torts fired in 2014. We had Trevor Linden resigned in 2018. You had Benning hired and fired in 2014 and 2022. You Green had Willie Desjardins fired in 2017. You have Travis Green. Now you had Bruce Boudreau. Like, the last 10 years, it's added like 30 years off of my life. Like, it's just like ridiculous. And it's just like a
repetitive vicious cycle over and over and over. And like, when is the time to just try something new? Like, and I feel so bad for Rick Tocchet. I feel so bad. He's been put into impossible spot.
He accepted the job.
He accepted the job. I understand that, but it's put in a tough spot because like, how is he going to be taken by the fans when the fans love Bruce so much?
Well, it doesn't even matter. How is he going to be taken by the players? It was announced Sunday morning.
And that's the thing. And that's his comments and saying like, you know, he talked about JT playing too much and yada, yada, yada and whatever. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think it's this year plus two more years for Tocchet. So they're going to give him some runway here and try and figure this shit out. I don't know.
Blake, they give every coach runway, but most of the time the coaches don't make it to the end of the runway.
For sure. Yeah, no, I get it. But like I said, I think I said it like a month ago, 2 months ago. They tried this structure stuff with Travis Green. It didn't work. And they're going to bring in Tocchet. And it seems like Aquilini and Alvin and Rutherford have just been bringing in all their Pittsburgh boys.
On Sunday morning, they did announce that Boudreaux had been fired along with assistant coach Trent Cull. And Rick Tocchet had been hired for the 21st coach in franchise history. Adam Foote was named assistant coach, and Sergei Gonchar was hired as a defensive development coach, whatever that is. And I look at this, and this is, I'm sitting here looking, and I'm like, okay, so now Rick Tocchet's behind the bench. What changes?
Well,
what's Rick Tocchet going to do?
Happen. Hold on. This is what's going to happen, okay? If you take a look at the Vancouver Canucks last 34 games of the year, okay, 15 games are against teams that are 24 and lower. This team's going to get Demko back. I told you this last week it's going to happen. This team's going to get Demko back. They're going to win enough games to get them out of the Bedard sweepstakes, and they're going to draft 14th overall and miss the playoffs by 10 points. So it's going to happen. It's the same thing that happened last year. Boudreaux came in. They won 7 games in a row. They got on a hot streak. It happens all the time. Like, it's just like, you just got to rebuild.
You know,
none of this retool shit. Rebuild, trade Miller, or not Miller, trade Horvat, trade Kuzmenko, trade Shlukshen, get as much picks and prospects and futures that you can, and start over, man.
Here's the deal, though. Like, usually when a new coach is hired, you get the bump.
Coach bump. Yeah.
You're not getting
it
now.
Happen.
No, you're not, because these players didn't want a new coach. Most of the time, the players want a change. They don't want a change. The players didn't want this. The players wouldn't have been emotional if they wanted this.
They should have played better then.
They're not better, Blake. This is the Canucks. This is who they are. Who's not playing good?
Well, I mean, they haven't had an NHL goalie all year.
Blake, the Canucks. There's no secret. No, Oliver Ekman-Larsson is not good.
Maybe the players are what they are.
Tyler Myers is not a good player. This is not a secret here. You've got anchors all over the boat here hanging out big money contracts to players who aren't very good. You can't say, well, you got to play better. I don't think anybody in the Canucks is saying, hey, I'm going to go play shitty tonight. This is who the Canucks are. They're not very good. That's it. It's it. But the fact of how they handled this made me want to cry.
Yeah, no, it was pretty emotional seeing all this stuff on social media. And
then the press conference.
The division between the media and the fans and the upper management and the team, it's so bad.
This isn't.
It's so bad.
I mean, the Canucks in a matter of 1 week have the entire sports world hating them.
1 week? 1 week?
Well, just the way they handled the Boudreaux thing. Has the entire sports
This has
world.
Been speculation for like 2 months.
I know, but it really got bad this last week when they're tromping them out there, and it's
yeah, and like for Rutherford to say like, oh, this is just overblown speculation, blah blah blah, buddy. The media just doesn't randomly say, oh yeah, Tockett's gonna replace Boudreau. So like somebody has to leak stuff to the media. Like that's the part that I don't.
So we were talking before the show. So he keeps crying, poor me, speculation, right? So what he's telling us is that the media guessed it would be Rick Tockett, guessed the day that Rick Tockett would be hired, guessed the day Bruce Boudreau would be fired.
They were wrong. It was a day earlier. Yeah. Come on.
I mean, give me a break. Like, who is Rutherford kidding? Does he think we're all a bunch of morons? Like, this guy's a clown. This guy's a clown, and he's running a clown show. And I guarantee you that there's a ton of management in the National Hockey League was just like, wow, this guy couldn't have planned this any worse. I lost a lot of respect. A lot of people lost a lot of respect for the Canucks ownership group and right on down, because this was handled like a train wreck. And when the players see it, and you throw in all the garbage to the Canucks we talked about last week, holy cow, they're right up there with the Coyotes.
Tyler Myers saying he's never seen anything like this
because
in his professional year. Hold on. He played in Buffalo. Let's remember, he played in Buffalo when they were absolutely dog shit. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
And he said this is the worst thing he's ever seen. So like that should tell you like this is just
wrong.
A gong show. A gong show is what it is. And the Canucks have I don't even know how long it's going to take to get the fans' trust back. Like, yes, they have betrayed the whole fan base. They've betrayed the whole fan base for almost a decade with no plan. Like,
it's going to take
miracles to get the full trust back.
I saw a tweet last night that I thought was pretty telling, and I wonder how many people have this sentiment. I can't remember who it was. All the tweet said was, I will always be a Canuck fan, but I am no longer a Canuck customer.
Yeah. Yep. It's
that's pretty telling.
Yeah, I'm never gonna change my team, but it's just so frustrating to watch. Like I have never turned off so many games in one year, and the year's just half over. It's embarrassing.
You had to go to bed last night being embarrassed for the organization that you cheer for.
I literally put on social media. I said I'm literally ashamed to be a Canucks fan right now. Like it's awful. It's so awful how you can treat a human being like that. And a human being like Bruce, who is probably a future Hall of Famer, would you say?
Well, I don't, probably. But he's one of the kindest human beings out there.
Like, he's just like, and props to Bruce for coming to the rink every day and putting a smile on his face and having a positive attitude. Like, he handled that with so much class.
There's no way I could handle it as good as he did.
Like, it was unbelievable how they just kept rolling him out there. And towards the end, you could tell it really took a toll on him. Like, he got really emotional and
poor guy's crying on the bench.
I feel bad. I feel really, really bad for the guy. Nobody deserves that.
I just pray, Blake, that next week.
Hold up. One more thing. I hope Bruce Boudreau does get one more shot at a head coach, because he doesn't deserve a goal like that.
No, I agree.
He doesn't.
I agree.
So.
I agree. But you know what? Think of this another way, though. He would have to, only other way, he went out with the most utmost respect and class that I've ever seen a human being have. Maybe it is a good way to go out. Because shy of winning another Stanley Cup and quitting.
And getting that reception from the fans.
Maybe it's the best thing for him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Lots to think about for Bruce Boudreau. But
can we talk about some positive? Before we talk about Sam Coates, can we talk about that in three questions? That's one of my questions.
Yeah, we'll skip that. Let's go around the league.
Okay.
Lots to talk about in around the league. And the first thing I wanted to talk about, there is so many fairly big name players that look to be up for you know, up to be trade deadline bait, I guess, you know, players that are going to be on the move. And then I started looking at it, and I started doing some figuring, and this is going to be a deadline that has a lot of people, of good players available, but it's going to be really tricky to be a busy one, because right now, 12 NHL teams have no cap space, 17 teams have players on LTIR, 27 teams have less than $3 million cap space. Many of the teams that want to make trades but can't because of the cap, player movement, I don't know how it's going to happen this time.
Teams like Buffalo, Coyotes, and the Ducks are going to be licking their chops at the deadline. You know, I don't know why. Because teams are going to have to flip players to them so they can retain half the salary. And they're going to get picks and prospects in return. That's how trades are going to have to happen this year. Because if it can't be money in, money out, which is the world we live in right now, you can't make a trade if it's not pretty much even because nobody has cap. You're going to have to get creative and do three-way trades, which is pretty rare to see. We don't really see that very often. I think this year we might see a more three-way trades than we usually do see, but there is a lot of good players, like obviously like Timo Meier, Horvat at the top of the list for forwards.
Taze and Kane, possibly.
Taze and Kane. No. I mean, it would be pretty cool to see Taze get traded to Winnipeg.
Yeah, I'd like that.
And his career with the Jets, that would be really cool.
Dylan Larkin sounds like he's a long ways off a contract in Detroit. Did something happen there?
You know where I can see Dylan Larkin going? The Pittsburgh Penguins. I think that is a match made in heaven for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
How do they afford that?
Well, I think Detroit would retain half the salary on him because they don't want to let him walk for nothing.
Okay, so what are they going to get in return for this?
Oh, boy. I mean, it starts the first, obviously.
I don't think Pittsburgh can afford to give up a first-round pick right now. They're too old to be giving up first-round picks.
Well, this is it, though. This is it.
Yeah, true.
This might be their last dance.
Probably. Well, we said that about Boston, too, didn't we? I believe we said that last year.
We said that about Dallas last year too.
Yeah, I know.
And here they are. But no, I'm serious though. Like they're gonna trade a first round pick. They 100% are because this might be their last chance to make a run with Sid.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they teams are gonna have to get creative with the trades for sure.
We're going to talk about that a lot more in coming weeks as we are, what?
When is the deadline? Do you know?
Yeah, March 2nd or 3rd. Let me look real quick.
Did they push it back?
No,
it's a Friday. It was usually in February.
It is. It's 1 week back because the season started 1 week back. So March 3rd, Friday, March 3rd.
Okay, so they did. Okay.
But, yeah, I don't know. We got a lot to talk about in the coming weeks about the trade deadline because it'll be
It's almost February. That is absolutely wild.
Yeah. So we're about 5 weeks off of that date. NHL All-Star Game jerseys. Have you seen these jerseys, Blake?
They are beautiful. They are very nice. I like them. They brought back the old logo, the old Western Eastern Conference logo. And it's a Miami theme. It's a Miami theme. It's in Florida. You don't like them?
It's not women's hockey.
Okay, but it's my. Do you not know the Miami theme colors, Brad?
I don't give a shit.
It's pink. It's pink, silver, and teal. That's
hockey players should not wear frickin' pink. And I don't think they're in the "Welcome to Miami" sign when you drive into the city. There's pink on the sign. I don't know what you're talking about, Blake.
Miami Vice. Oh my God! Look, dude. Look at.
I don't. Miami Vice was a show.
Colors.
That was a show before you were born, dude. And what the hell does Miami Vice have to do with hockey?
See this?
Yeah.
That's Miami Vice colors. Pink, teal, and white.
They're ugly.
It's not. I like it. It's something different, man.
Oh, my God.
Like the All-Star games, those jerseys are going to fly off the markets. You'll
guarantee
see.
They won't. Guarantee
they
won't.
They will. They're going to fly off the markets.
No, they're not. You know what?
Okay, when I saw I must have different followers than you on Twitter because everyone I see loves them.
It's your generation versus the realists.
And you're a fun sucker,
and
man.
And I know, this is not fun. This is not fun. I got a word for it. I'm not going to say what it is. All right, fan voted in players.
Yeah.
In the Atlantic, Matthews, Pastrnak, Vasilevsky. That's legit. Draisaitl, yeah. Horvat, and Skinner in the Pacific. Stuart Skinner's the goalie. That's scary.
I mean, what other goalie taken from the Pacific? I mean,
Dan
because
Vladar.
Logan Thompson's already going, right?
Yeah, he's already going. So I don't
okay, know. So yeah, I mean, you're not going to take Vladar. He has not much sample, as big of a sample size.
He's got about as much as Skinner.
And Skinner's been played. Better, no?
I don't know. Guess what? Hey,
that's the new sheriff in town, eh? Guess, is he the new starter?
Guess when Vladar? Guess Vladar's last loss. Guess the date of Vladar's last loss.
I don't know, December?
October 24th. He is
8-0-3. How many games does he have? 8-0-3? That's not bad. Pretty good.
Yeah. Metro, Adam Fox, Artemi Panarin, Ilya Sorokin, Central, Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, and Connor Hellebuck. Okay. I've got nothing to say.
It's good, yeah. No, it doesn't. There's not a player in there that doesn't deserve to be in there. So,
no, and that is definitely. I've already marked it on my calendar, marked it off. That is a no hockey weekend for me.
You're not a big skills comp guy.
No, I'm not watching any hockey that weekend. I am gonna do stuff with my kids, and
be watching the 3-on-3.
Not watching one thing that weekend. And there's not even a junior hockey game that weekend in town, so I'm not even going to a game. So, nothing. Nada.
What are you
going
to do?
I'm going to probably watch a movie for the first time in a long time.
Hey, hold on.
Oh, season of You is coming out. Maybe it'll start.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say that. February, we're going to be on that train, baby.
That's what I'm doing.
Let's go.
That's what I'm doing.
I can't wait for that.
That's what I'm doing, dude. I don't give a rat's ass about some
binge watching You that weekend. I'll mark that on our calendars.
Pink hockey jersey, 3-on-3 bullshit. All right.
I don't mind the 3-on-3 though. It's a lot better than 5-on-5.
It sucks. Everything that has to do with All-Star sucks.
Hey, but you're not gonna watch the shooting pucks and alligators?
No, I'm not watching anything. I just told you I'm watching You.
You're not gonna watch the dunk tank?
No, I'm not watching that. Okay. Let's talk real hockey here. Jack Eichel called out by his coach, Bruce Cassidy, saying that he's not meeting their expectations. He says, Jack hasn't been a driving force for us as he was at the start of the year on both ends of the ice. The expectations are not being met for Jack. He needs to be better for us, especially as we're down a few guys that create offense for us. He needs to be one of the drivers. And me and you called this. This guy is overpriced.
Yeah.
This guy is going to struggle to ever meet those.
Well, the problem isn't just that he's making $10 million a year. It's that he got traded to a market where they expect to be contenders every year. Oh, this guy just commented on. He says, I think they're ugly. Hey, come on, Dan Kelly. One? Come on, buddy.
I added that to the screen just so you could
see
that.
Did you pay that guy to say that?
No, I wanted to.
Did you pay him to say that? Is that a fake name for you?
No, I fired it up onto the screen just because there is good listeners here. Good listeners tuning in, watching our show, firing off good comments. Okay.
But going back to Eichel, he's in a market where they expect to win and expect to be good every year. And when you don't meet expectations with what you're making, that's what happens. He's got to take criticism.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It, and it's not even a bad thing. That might wake him up and be like, okay, like I got to get going. Like I think maybe that helps him.
That's the coach's plan, I think. I don't think he's trying to drag him down.
It's not going to hurt.
No, you got to be honest, man. Max Pacioretty, man. MRI confirms that he has, again, tore his right Achilles tendon 2 weeks after returning to action after suffering the same surgery last August. Unfortunately, is Max Pacioretty's career done?
Yeah, sadly, I think his career is going to be over. And when he returned, I was like, is this too early or am I like crazy? I looked up Achilles like injuries and recovery time, and they said like you're not gonna be the same player for like 1 to 2 years, and he came back in what, 6 months? Like I was like, whoa, like that's, and I just hate seeing that non-contact. Like nobody was even around him. He passed the puck out front and boom, his Achilles is torn. It's just like, it's heartbreaking. You never like to see stuff like that happen. And for a player well liked as Max Pacioretty around the hockey world, he's a great human being. Sucks. Devastated, man. It sucks seeing that stuff.
It's a tough injury to heal from. It's a tough injury. To ever heal from, to be honest
like
with you.
Like, to re-tear the same. It's like we're talking with Gabe Landeskog. He's tore his left knee twice, back-to-back years. Same surgery, same injury. Like, you know, how are you ever going to be the same?
And I'm not a doctor, but I mean, like, how is that ever going to get repaired after having it twice now? How is
properly.
It
properly. Yeah.
Is there, I mean, I'm not... Is there much to work with there anymore? Has it been torn?
Like, is he even going to be able to run around the yard with his kids? Like, that's stuff you worry about. Like, that's the big picture you got to worry about here. It's more than just a game. Like, it's a human being off the ice. Like, it's tough.
Do you want to hear a good Max Pacioretty story?
Sure.
He used to play.
You got time?
We got time. He used to play in the United States Hockey League. And he played against... a guy I used to play senior men's hockey with and a guy that used to coach my kids' hockey team. And I was visiting with him one night, and I believe he played at Sioux City and was Pacioretty at, I'm trying to remember, Waterloo maybe?
He played Sioux City Musketeers.
Okay, that's where Pacioretty played?
Yeah.
Okay, so then, oh, where did the guy I know play then? Omaha? I guess it doesn't matter. Sioux Falls or Omaha or something. It doesn't matter. But anyways, he hit the guy that I know and right in front of the bench. And he was on his back and Pacioretty was standing over him and he yells in his face, "Does your coach know you're out here?" I don't know. Pacioretty goes on.
It sucks too because like he had 3 goals in 5 games. Like he was...
He's a key part of that team.
And Carolina, like, they were banking on him coming back. Like, this guy is going to be a top 6 forward for us. And now...
He was their deadline acquisition.
Now, yeah, for sure. And now you might have to go overpay for a guy like Meyer or Horvat when you didn't think that you had to do that, maybe.
Yeah,
like, but there's more of a need now than there would have been before Pacioretty's injury. Would you agree?
Sure.
They need a top 6 forward now. Those aren't cheap.
Do they really, though? This team is cocked and loaded, I think.
I mean, let's go here. Let's go to my second favorite site here, which is dailyfaceoff.com.
Where do they even need him? Listen to their centers. Aho, Stastny, Stahl, Kotkaniemi. Teravainen, Svechnikov, Martinique, Derek Stefan, Seth Jarvis, Martinikas, Jesper Fast, and Stefan Nosen. I don't know. Where do you need him? Where do you need anybody?
I mean, Seth Jarvis hasn't been great this year, but he's young. They could use some help in the top 6. It never hurts to have depth. It never hurts to have depth, especially down the middle.
No, I don't disagree there.
Like, and is Jesperi Kotkaniemi really a fourth line center? Like, you're telling me you can't upgrade the center department there?
You can't have a $5 million guy not on your roster. If he's not on the fourth line, he's sitting in the press box.
I think he would get traded in any trade they do.
He can't get traded. He's got a no-move clause. I'm 100% sure.
Does he?
Yeah, everybody does now, it seems like.
No, I don't. There's no way they gave him a no-move.
Who's taking that contract on? Are you crazy?
He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have a no-move. Okay,
so what crazy – are the Canucks going to take that on? That'd be real Canuck-like. That would fit right into their mold.
4.8 cap.
Fit right into their mold.
22 years old. I hate that idea.
Oh, let's think about that. I saw an interesting thing on Thursday night. I was watching the Lightning Oilers game, which was had the playoff intensity. That was a really good game.
Was a good one.
Evander Kane back after getting his wrist cut. And then there's a scrum with Kucherov and Kane, and everybody's involved. And the linesman trips, and he gets his, it looked like wrist cut, and he holds his wrist and races off the ice. And I'm thinking, Kane comes back from a wrist injury, and now the linesman breaking up a scrum that Kane's involved in gets cut, and he has to race off. It was later showed that it was more a little higher on the wrist, more in the hand. But scary, scary scene.
I didn't see that.
And
no,
I just was
that.
Like, holy cow, like, how ironic is this? And like, oh, it was scary. Just the look on his face, and he turned, and I saw it during live play, like not even the replay. I saw it. I'm like, he's cut. You could just tell he was cut, you know.
It was cool to see Maroon and Kane kind of embrace during warm-up and, like, kind of tap him and say, like, apologize to him, obviously. Oh, but,
not to apologize for. He didn't do anything.
No, I just apologize that it happened, I guess. But it was obviously an accident and scary situation. But, yeah, Kane back, had a schedule. He talked about that last week. And it's going to be a big impact for the Oilers.
Talk about impact. Let's quickly roll through the Oilers here. In their last six games, they're 6-0. They've scored 31 goals. They averaged 5.16 goals for in those six games. Goals against, 13, 2.16 average. Their power play, 26.7. Penalty kill, 93.3. Shots for per game, 39.6. Shots against, 28.2. And 11 different forwards have scored. This team's rolling.
Yeah, no, it's... This team is showing off their depth right now. And even guys like this Klim Kostin guy, like even this guy's come out of nowhere and just found a home on the top six.
I heard that they're shopping Fogel. Which surprised
me. I saw that too.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good, but I think they can use his money somewhere else.
Money? How much is he getting paid?
I think he's like 3.5.
No.
Yeah, I'm positive he's like 3.5.
I've got it. 2.75. That's not bad.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you look at this roster. Like, Hyman's already passed his career high in points. Like he's gonna score 40 goals this year. Which is crazy to say. I mean, you got McDavid on pace for 1,000 points. Draisaitl leading the show there. Nugent Hopkins has just been unbelievable this year. This guy is—he's on pace for I think 100 points. Like, he's been that good. You go down the middle, you got young guys like Dylan Holloway and Ryan McLeod and this Kostin kid. They're deep right now, and they're showing it, and they're getting goals from every line and. They're getting good goaltending from Stuart Skinner and even Campbell's won his last five starts, for God's sake. Like, what is going on here? What's in the water right now in Edmonton?
We'll see how long it lasts. It's time for three questions.
Okay.
It's time for three questions.
Last week I fired the questions at Blake. This week it is his turn to fire at me. Go.
Okay, Brad. Question number one. What is one thing that you would change for the Calgary Flames right now? And is there a missing piece, or do players just need to perform better? And 1B, what was your thoughts on Sutter's comments about Pelletier postgame?
I'll start with that. Frustrating. Daryl Sutter is a hard guy to read. You don't know if he's being sarcastic to the media to poke a jab at the media, or if he's just truly being an asshole. I've always thought really highly of Daryl Sutter and looked forward to his press conferences because they used to be sarcastic. Now I don't know if they're sarcastic or just being an asshole. And I've questioned it, and I went back and forth a lot. And I don't know. I was always taught that sometimes it's better just to keep your goddamn mouth shut. And when asked about that question, I would rather he just said, you know what? He's a young player that got some minutes in a game that was difficult to get anybody minutes in because it was penalties left and right. And we'll see and evaluate over time. Leave it at that. You don't have to always be poking jabs all the time and always be maneuvering with words all the time. Sometimes it's better to shut the hell up. As far as how I feel the Flames should, what they should do, I don't feel safe defensively. I don't think this team's doing very well at all defensively. I think right now you have to run with Dan Vladar. He's winning you games. He's getting more run support, which I don't really give a shit how we're scoring. If it's because Dan Vladar's in net, then so be it. Who cares? It's not something to read into now. We've got 3.5 months to get Markstrom going. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I got a feeling, knowing off basically off Jacob Markstrom's track record, that he's going to come around and he's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
But this team's missing a top six forward, and this team's missing a solid six defenseman. And right now, you don't have the money to do anything, so you got to do the best with what you got. But you know what? One thing that's different in Calgary right now is it doesn't seem like there's a lot of fun. There was a lot of fun yesterday, it seemed like. The success came. You got to have fun to be good.
Yeah. Okay, Stamkos scored his 500th goal last week against the Vancouver Canucks. Where does he rank all-time in goal scorers on your list?
I don't know. I've never really sat down and tried to rank all-time going back to, the beginning of time. But when I think of prolific goal scorers in the last decade, he is in my top three.
Okay, of all the teams not in the playoff picture right now, what team, in your opinion, has the brightest future?
Like, brightest future from here till the end of the season?
No. Like, the team that you think, like, hey, okay, this team is going to take the next step.
Well, sure as hell not the Vancouver Canucks.
Thanks, Tips. Appreciate that jab. Thank you very much.
I mean, so you're saying a crappy team that's going to be good in the future?
Yeah. Like, who has the best future?
I would say Ottawa.
Think so?
I don't know. Ottawa or Detroit? I don't know. What? I don't think any of them look real bright right now. I mean, you look at this right now, right? Anaheim doesn't look bright right now. It looks like shit. Chicago looks like shit. Arizona looks like shit. San Jose looks like shit. Vancouver looks worse than shit. St. Louis is older than hell. Nashville's old. Columbus is junk. Montreal.
One team. Montreal has a bright future, I think.
With who in net?
That is a problem for sure.
I don't know. Right now,
you look at their young D. And they're gonna get. They might get two lottery picks this year.
I don't know. Right now, there's nobody. I mean, Detroit and Ottawa probably have the best chance.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Was that three? That was three.
Yep, that was three.
Okay, so listener question. I didn't get one this week, but I got something different. I heard something on one of the talk radio shows, and it was a question asked of, whose career would you rather have?
Is this a player A, player B? I got a guess.
Well, no, it's your own opinion. It's not a guess.
Oh.
Whose career would you rather have? And I'm going to name five different segments here, okay?
Okay.
Number one is, Would you rather have Steven Stamkos' career or Patrick Kane's career?
Oh, boy, they both got cups. Stamkos has got a gold medal. I would take Stamkos.
Me too.
I would take Stamkos.
He's been wholesome, perfect.
That's a hard question, though.
I know. That's why I'm throwing hard ones. Would you rather have Connor McDavid's career or Wayne Gretzky's career?
I can't answer that question. I've never seen Wayne play. Like
You don't have YouTube? You've never seen highlights? You've never seen a hold in the cup?
I've seen highlights, but like the play, the goalies, the equipment is so different now. Like if you put McDavid in Gretzky's era with his speed and skill, he'd have like 500 points a year.
No. He's got to play. No, listen to me. He's got to play with those skates, those sticks, and the hooking and slashing that was allowed back then.
Yeah, I know that. Okay, that's a fair point. But
you got to think all the way through.
But I will. McDavid probably is the best player we've ever seen since Gretzky. You know.
Well, yeah, but since Gretzky, you just said it right there.
I would take Wayno. I mean, he had five cups.
Sure. Oh, a pretty easy one, I thought.
Man, it's
okay, here's the next one.
Hell of a player, though.
Gordie Howe or Bobby Orr?
Oh, it's such a shame that Bobby only played 7 years. Like it seems like such a travesty. Like there was so much. Like
he played more than seven. I think.
So much more to give. I mean, his knees just kind of just gave up on him. But I think I'd rather have Bobby Orr.
You would, huh?
Yeah, just because he kind of changed the position for defense. Like I know Gordy's got the legacy and the Gordie Howe hat trick, and
Bobby Orr played way more than 7 years. Just so you know,
how many did he play?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years.
Yeah, eight less than he should have played. It's tough.
I would say, well, you know, Bobby Orr did change the defensive position, but Gordie Howe was Mr. Hockey, man.
Yeah, no, and as I say, he's got a bigger legacy than Bobby Orr, but I mean, I think I'd rather have Bobby Orr.
Okay. Alexander Ovechkin or Sidney Crosby?
I'll take Crosby. I think that's an easy one.
Why?
Crosby's smarter with the puck. He's a better playmaker. He is got a better IQ.
IQ like in life or in hockey?
I like playmaking ability and IQ on the ice. And
okay, but
yeah,
I can.
Ovechkin's stronger. He's more physical. Crosby has way more accolades, and Ovechkin's got the shot. Crosby's a better player in every aspect other than physical and goal scoring.
And there's a high likelihood that Alexander Ovechkin's going to be the greatest goal scorer of all time and pass Wayne Gretzky.
No, he is. I got you to turn onto that. Never forget, I've said this for the last three seasons.
I never said I turn. I said he's got a much better chance of it.
But I think I'd rather you asked me whose career would you rather have.
I know. I just there's no right or wrong answer.
Crosby's got way more accolades too.
Okay. The last one.
Who would you rather have?
I think when you pass Wayne Gretzky, and you're going to be remembered as the greatest man. I want Alexander Ovechkin.
That's a fair point.
He's got a cup too, so you can't even argue
but
that.
Hold
one.
On, Crosby's also got two gold medals, three cups, like more accolades.
You know what I think of gold medals?
Okay, but that was back when the NHL played. So stop it, and Russia was actually playing. So
okay,
stop
so
it.
There's three teams to beat.
Oh my God, it's three!
Back then, Finland wasn't any good. There was Sweden, Russia, and the U.S. That's all.
Sweden. Sweden just sucked.
That's what I said. Did you hear what I just said? It was three teams that were good. Sweden, Russia, and Canada. That's all.
And U.S. Okay. You're forgetting about the U.S. So okay. Good one there, smart one.
Well, the U.S. hasn't been real that great.
Yeah, they haven't won a gold since 1980. We all know
it. They don't. They have a much smaller percentage of players in the National Hockey League compared to Canada.
No, I agree.
It's starting to change, though.
It's changing. They're closing the gap. They might already be closed.
It's going to be pretty soon. Canada's going to might be one of the lower ones, especially.
We're not getting into politics.
Okay, the last thing. Martin Brodeur or Patrick Waugh?
I thought you were gonna fuck with me and say Luongo.
No. Well, that'd be easy.
I think I'd take Patty Waugh.
I would take Martin Brodeur. You won cups. You played almost all your whole career. You didn't have any controversy in your life.
Hold on. You criticized Martin Brodeur for the longest time.
I didn't say he's the best goalie. I said, what career would you want? I want to be a goalie playing in front of the best defense in the world.
Patrick Waugh single-handedly turned around two franchises by himself.
Eric Lindros turned around the entire Colorado franchise.
Okay, listen though.
What are you kidding?
Hold on.
Blake, were you alive?
Montreal was spiraling in 1984.
You were alive.
Comes this guy named Patrick Waugh, and he leads him to back-to-back Stanley Cups.
Blake.
He gets traded to Colorado first year, Stanley Cup. 2001, Stanley Cup. Four cups.
He did not turn that franchise around.
Okay, but without Patrick Waugh in Colorado, there ain't no Stanley Cups.
I would disagree.
Ooh, really?
Absolutely.
What? Especially, Joe Sakic, maybe not in 2001. That might be the greatest Stanley Cup winning team of all time. But they don't win in 96.
I think you need to go back on your history. That trade that Lindros, that's who won Colorado a cup. Had nothing to do with Patrick Waugh.
Okay, if they don't acquire Patrick Waugh, I don't think they win cups.
I still think they win cups. That team was top to bottom unreal.
No, the 2001 team was unreal. It was great.
Unreal.
But I don't think they went without Patty Waugh.
I don't know. I love arguing with Blake when he wasn't even alive, so I don't even know how he
I still know my shit, Brad Berud.
No idea. We are back again next Monday night.
No Canucks talk, hopefully.
Unless Bo Horvat gets traded.
Yeah, true.
Which now will happen, because I don't want to talk about the Canucks again. My God.
We talk about it every week.
Well, we're not talking about them for a long time. We're back Monday night, normal time. Last week was an interesting week in the National Hockey League, to say the least. What's this week going to bring us? Enjoy this week's hockey action, hockey talk every week, the Debate Hockey Pocket Podcast.
Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey, and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Berud and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at DebateHockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Berud and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out DebateHockey.com and on Twitter at DebateHockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.